And welcome to What the World Needs Now. Your host for the next hour, Ken Johnston. And we have a guest lined up, waiting for him to call in. So may or may not happen. It can be easy to forget in this busy time of the year as we're preparing for Christmas. But I do want to praise and thank God for all of you that are with us today. And know how much we appreciate all that you do for us here in His sign, both your prayerful and your financial support that's kept us on the air for some 40 years. And we thank you for that, and we just ask you to keep it coming, especially the prayers and whatever financial help you can provide, especially as we get ready to begin a new year here at In His Sign. Maybe you haven't finished your end-of-year giving yet, think about sending a little extra to us here at In His Sign. The other way to support us is through smile.amazon.com. You may not be aware, but instead of using www.amazon.com, if you use smile.amazon.com, you can dedicate a charity, or designate a charity, I should say. And In His Sign is one of the ministries that's out there, so a percentage of each of your Amazon purchases can come to us as a monthly check. So maybe you have some last-minute shopping to do. Amazon's pretty good at getting you that stuff in a day or two. So if you're going to make any last-minute purchases at Amazon, consider using smile.amazon.com and designate In His Sign as your charity. One of the things I announced in the previous hour, and we're really getting excited about, is the masses that we're going to be having on First Friday, beginning in January, on January the 5th. At a few minutes after 8 o'clock at St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, we're going to start a monthly Mass and healing service for those that struggle with addiction. So anybody is more than welcome to join us, but especially those who struggle with addiction, those that are in recovery, those that may have friends, family, loved ones that struggle with addiction, you're more than welcome to come and join us. We expect to have Mass. Again, it's going to be a few minutes after 8. There's a 12-step meeting catty corner to the church that lets out around 8 o'clock, so we want to give those folks an opportunity to get across the street and get settled. So 8:10, 8:15 or so, we'll begin Mass. We'll have a healing service, which will include a relic of Matt Talbot. Not a first-class relic. There's only one around that I'm aware of, and it Father Lawless has it over in Dublin, Ireland, especially since Matt Talbot's not been canonized a saint yet. There might be some first-class relics to be had once that happens, but in the meantime, we're blessed to have a piece of the Franciscan habit that Matt was buried in. He was a secular Franciscan, a Third Order Franciscan, and so even today, we as secular Franciscans can be buried in the Franciscan habit if we so choose. In those days, they actually wore habits to their meetings that they had each month, and also had the ability to be buried in the Franciscan habit. So we have a piece of the one that Matt was buried in. So come on out and join us on Friday night, January the 5th. Again, Mass will start a few minutes after 8 o'clock, followed by a healing service. We'll probably get some refreshments together. And we're hoping that this turns into a pretty big to-do on a monthly basis, and get folks from all over the Archdiocese, South Jersey, Delaware. You're all more than welcome to come up and be with us. Also, along the same lines, our good friend Michael Collins, who, because of addiction in his own family, has tried to put together some masses for the addicted on a quarterly basis. He had the first one last year, I think it was in March, at the cathedral with Father Gill, and had two since then. But the next one's going to be on Saturday, January the 27th, January the 27th at 11 o'clock at St. Eleanor's up in Collegeville. It looks like they have a chapel there, Our Lady's Chapel, and we'll have Mass there at 11 o'clock on Saturday the 27th of January. Confession will also be available from 10 to 10:45, as will Adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament in that chapel. The celebrant will be Father Christopher Morricone, And looking forward to that and getting together with Michael again. Again, that Mass is for anybody, again, that has somebody in their life that's struggling with addiction, either the addict themselves or those that are struggling. So come on out and join us. And now you got that brand-new 2018 calendar. You want to circle all the first Fridays, circle January the 27th. The other date that you want to circle on there will be Sunday, April the 22nd is the date this year for the annual Wake Up America dinner. One of our two big fundraisers of the year. Of course, we have our golf outing in the fall, but the one in the spring is the dinner that we have out at St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House in beautiful Malvern, Pennsylvania. We'll get together for dinner as well as a silent auction and some wonderful talks. It always proves to be a great afternoon. So on that new calendar that you just got, please circle Sunday, April the 22nd, and we'll roll out more details as they become available. Well, no guest yet. So what we're going to do is wrap up the series on the 12 steps that we've been talking about as time permitted in this hour. And then maybe probably wrap that up before the break. And then after the break, we'll take your calls either on any of the 12 steps. Perhaps you have a question about the 12-step program. You've heard about it. Maybe you listened to a couple of the prior shows and have questions. And the other thing that we'll talk about, of course, is the upcoming Christmas holiday. So, you know, feel free to call in anytime. Numbers here, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-343-2484. Again, that's 888-34-FAITH. Now that it's getting dark earlier, great way to listen to us is via our website at inhissign.com. One of the ways that me and a few of my friends listen to this radio show as well as other radio stations is with an app called TuneIn. And not getting paid to endorse them. It's just something that I use, and it works pretty well. And if you have a smartphone and go to your app store and look for TuneIn, you can pick up just about any radio station in the world. Comes in crystal clear, and you know, a great way to listen to us, especially if you struggle to get a good signal this time of year. I don't know why, but I know it's been explained to me once, but not sure why the FCC forces us to power it down. But anyway. A couple of ways to get to us via the website or maybe an app that's available that picks up radio signals on your smartphone. So when last we talked about the 12 steps, we had gotten up to step 10. And just by way of review, we'll go back through the steps. The first one is that we admitted that we're powerless over whatever it is that we're addicted to and that our life had become unmanageable. And that's usually the way most folks I've come across have found their ways into a 12-step program. It was the unmanageability in their lives. A lot of times they could admit that their lives were unmanageable, but couldn't admit that they actually had an addiction. The second step is that we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. For those of us that are Catholic and Christian, that God would be Jesus Christ. In the third step, we make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. And again, that God for we Catholics would be none other than the Holy Trinity, but in particular, Jesus Christ. In the fourth step, we make a fearless and moral inventory of ourselves. So we go back through our lives and take a look at all the harms we've done to other people. We take a look at the fears. We take a look at sexual misconduct and what have you, and put down on paper basically what you would do with an examination of conscience, except this is going to cover your whole life, not just since the last time you went to confession. In the fifth step, we're going to take all that stuff that we wrote in the fourth step, and we're going to sit with another person, and we're going to admit to ourselves, to another human being, and to God, the exact nature of our wrongs. And the key phrase there is the exact nature of our wrongs. And one of the ways that we separate this fifth step from a confession is that a lot of times there isn't ample time for a priest in the setting of confession to go through each one of our sins and narrow down the exact nature of it, you know, why we did it. So in a confession, we may reel off our litany of sins, and depending on the confessor, may or may not have a conversation about some of the root causes of those sins. In a fifth step, that's the role of the sponsor or whoever you do this with to look at each of these things and figure out what the root cause of them is, what the character defect in the individual is that causes us to do these things. In step six, we became ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So having reviewed our lives and identified those flaws that are within us, we this step really gives us a, and it's actually timed in the big book called Alcoholics Anonymous. It gives you an hour. So, you know, take an hour, think about what you did so far in your step work up to step five, and decide whether or not it was thorough and honest and you're ready to move on. And if you are, then we take step seven and we humbly ask God to remove all these shortcomings. So we will say a prayer to God, and having identified all those shortcomings in ourselves, we ask God to remove them, because only He can remove them. Try as hard as we can, as hard as we want, there's no way we're going to remove them ourselves. And I've had a few conversations even with Father McKay over the past couple of weeks, and the need for us to really take time to allow God to remove them. And in order for Him to do that, we have to just sit and be quiet and let Him operate. And I think that's a little different approach than what we take in this 12-step program. We tend to, if you're just looking at it from the 12-step view, you might say, okay, I'm going to say this prayer and ask God to remove the defects of character, and then go on and try to discern what God wants us to do and keep moving forward. What isn't prescribed often is this contemplation or meditation, although we'll talk about that in a minute in the 11th step, that we set aside time each day to just be quiet and do nothing except let God operate on us to root out all those defects and flaws that we have, because only He can do it. Try as we might, I know I can't do it. I tried for a while, and there was no way I was going to overcome some of these things without God. And even some of them still exist today, sometimes because we like to hold on to them. We use them as defense mechanisms, maybe. But I think a lot of times that God allows a few of them to remain with us just to keep us humble and to remember that we're dependent on Him. You know, I think of St. Paul and the thorn that he had, and asked God a number of times to remove it. And God would tell him that His grace was sufficient. And I think God does the same thing with you and I, that we ask we identify these flaws that we have within us, and we sincerely ask God to remove them, and He doesn't always do it. And I think part of that reason is just like Paul, he wants us to remain dependent on Him and to know that only He can remove it, but He's going to do it in His time, in His way. And until then, His grace is sufficient for us to live with that. In step eight, we made a list of all the folks that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And in step nine, we make direct amends to those that we hurt, except when to do so would injure them or others. So another difference between perhaps a confession and a ninth step is that in the ninth step, we're called on to make direct amends to those that we've harmed. And that could be paying back money if we stole it. That could be any number of things. But going to the individuals themselves that we hurt, and not just a simple "I'm sorry," but to let them know, you know, what we're doing, why we're doing it. You know, that we're in a 12-step program and we're trying to make our lives right, and that we just want to make amends for whatever it is that we've done as best we can. And a lot of times we can't always, undo what we've done. And a lot of times the apology may not be welcome. Sometimes the hurts can be too deep and require more time. But that's not what we're worried about when we set out to do this. The idea, at least for me, was to get these things off my chest and out of my head so that when I put my pillow or my head on the pillow at night, that I didn't have all these faces popping up reminding me of all the lousy things that I had done. And when we talked about step nine last week or the week before, I had mentioned, you know, it took me 25 years to finally make that last amend. And, you know, it was a gentleman that I owed a little bit of money to and no longer lived in the area, so we didn't cross paths anymore. But his was the one face that would pop up from time to time and remind me that I still had that amend to make. And it was beautiful when I made it. Since then, we've talked a few times. We even played golf together. And a friendship was restored. So you never know what good is going to come out of this. But one of the keys, and I think I had mentioned this, but just in case I didn't, in 12-step meetings, a lot of times they'll talk about the promises. And these are a litany of things that will start to happen in the life of an addict when they get to the ninth step and they get halfway through. And, you know, when it's read in a meeting or if you read it in the big book, it'll say before we were halfway through, and then it would go through this litany of things. You know, we wouldn't have financial worries anymore, that things that used to bother us no longer do. That things that we thought were insurmountable, we can overcome with no problem. And it's because by the time we get halfway through, we've emptied so much out of ourselves, all the bad, that we've made enough room for the good. We've made enough room for God to come in and start to change situations in our lives and change the way we live. And give us some self-respect and some humility that allows us to get through life on a daily basis. And then the last three steps, once we start to experience some of those promises, some people will call the last three steps the maintenance steps. These are the things that we need to continue to do for the rest of our lives in order to avoid going back to an active addiction. We talked a little bit about the 10th step the last time we got together. And in the 10th step, we continued to take a personal inventory. And when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. So for those that do the examination of conscience on a daily basis, or maybe you follow the prescription of the examen from the Jesuits and St. Ignatius of Loyola. But this highly recommended for everyone. I think I mentioned when we talked about step 10, and the examine how critical St. Ignatius of Loyola thought it was that he would tell his Jesuit priests that, you know, there was a number of things that they had to do each day, including, you know, attending Mass, saying the rosary, prayer, meditation, et cetera, and the examine. And he would tell them that, you know, when life gets busy and you can't fit everything in, that at a minimum, you need to do the examine. That's how important it was. So in that examine, we review our day. And after we give thanks to God for all the gifts he's given us, we review our day and see those areas where we saw what God was asking us to do and acted on it properly and did what he asked. We also look at all those times when God came into our lives and we ignored him. In those situations where we've maybe hurt other people or didn't do what we were supposed to do. And then in the formal examine, we would ask God for forgiveness for those things and then make a plan for the next day, what we're going to do, especially with our spiritual lives the next day, and then thank God for the time that we've spent together. Where the 12-step program adds on to that is that We need to make amends for any of those things and do it quickly. We don't want to let any of that stuff fester, because in the mind and heart of an addict, that's the worst thing that he or she can do. But I think for anybody, when we develop a resentment or we've hurt somebody else and now we're going to do everything in our power to avoid them because we don't want to apologize, that this is where we get in trouble again. And sometimes just one of these things, but oftentimes it'll be multiple things, will start to pile up, and next thing you know, we're looking for a way out and a way to escape those thoughts. And unfortunately, a lot of times this is when folks will go back to their addiction. And I've seen people with a few days, a few months, a few years. I've seen people with over 20 years of without taking a drink or without taking a drug, and life starts to pound on them, and they don't use the tools, and next thing you know, they're back in an active addiction, and that active addiction picks up right where it left off. The brain remembers what you did to it before, and so the brain will immediately do some things. And if we have some time towards the end, and we may have talked about it when we talked about step one, but I'd like to talk about the science of addiction a little bit. And not because I'm a scientist, but because it was something I learned a couple of years ago that really explained a whole lot for me when I saw people struggle with staying sober or staying clean and end up going back to their addictions. But anyway, we're going to take that personal inventory each day, and if we've screwed up, if we've made mistakes, we're going to try and rectify them, because we don't want to let them pile up. And whether you're an addict or not, these things will have a direct impact on your lives. I'm sure some of our listeners have experienced this in their own lives, where maybe you developed a resentment to cut off a relationship, and was something that, if it had been handled right away, may not have caused the issues that it's caused. So moving on to step 11, again, this is the second of the three maintenance steps. These are things that we're going to do every day to keep us from slipping back to our old ways. And in the 11th step, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. I know that's a mouthful. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. It's a pretty tall order, and there's a lot of implications to it. And even 25 years into recovery, this still changes for me on not a daily basis, but all of a sudden lights will go on over time, and all of a sudden you get a new revelation about this step. When I first saw it as a Catholic, I thought, "Wow, this is easy. This is just praying." But I didn't know how to meditate. I had never spent a whole lot of time, if any at all, in meditation. So this is where the book actually tells us to seek out priests, rabbis, and ministers. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous tells us to look these people up and to ask them for help, because they know how to do these things, and we may not. And I had great priests in my life, and in particular, Father Bob McLaughlin. I used to be the pastor out at St. Basil's in Kimberton. I had gotten to know him when he had first come out of the seminary at Holy Martyrs in Orland. And me and a few other guys hooked up with him early in my recovery to learn about our faith and the sacraments. And then Father John Lyons, who was a spiritual guide at our first Calyx unit over in Glenside. And, of course, Father McKay, who I've developed a wonderful relationship with. But these gentlemen have helped move me along in my own prayer life and my own spiritual life. And to actually do what the step says, and it says that we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. For years, I didn't look at that part of the 11th step, that we sought to improve our conscious contact with God. I didn't know conscious contact with God was even possible. And now I have the great people in my life who have proven that to me. There's a lot of folks that are a lot closer to God than I am. And, you take folks like Kathleen and Father McKay and other folks that I've come across that have this conscious contact with God. And I've had glimpses of it, and I've had my moments where I know that, God and I are in sync and that I have a pretty good idea of what God wants me to do. But it was something I never thought was possible until I got there and really concentrated on this 11th step and trying to get there. And we're at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. And when we come back with that 11th step, the last piece of it is something that came to me just in the last couple of years about seeking out God's will. And we'll pick up with that when we come back. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now, your host Ken Johnston for the next half hour or so. And we're back to talking about the steps. And before we go there, I just want to give out the phone numbers. Feel free to call in. Maybe you have a question about the steps or your own experience. Maybe you want to tie it into Christmas somehow, as I'll try to do before we leave today. The number is here, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906 or 888-343-2484, 888-34-FAITH. So before we went to the break, we had started to talk about the 11 steps sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And I was talking about my own struggles with prayer and meditation, and how I've had some wonderful people in my life, priests in particular, that have helped me with this. And I mentioned that it's in the last couple of years that I had a huge revelation in regards to the second half of this step. And that was in the phrase, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And I can't tell you where I was or what I was doing, but all of a sudden that word "only" just started to wreak havoc on me. And pray only for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And when I started to think about it and meditate on it, it became so crystal clear that it's okay to pray for other things, and certainly we want to pray for each other and pray for our loved ones. But when it comes to things and situations that we really want to focus on God's will for us. You know, folks I know, you know, you want to pray for a job and you want to pray for a car and you want to pray for a house and pray for this situation or pray for that situation. And it was in this revelation that came to me to pray for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Because in the end, you know, God only wants for us those things that are going to make us happy. And happy is not even the right word. It's what's going to bring us joy. There's things in life that make us happy, and that happiness is usually fleeting. It'll stick around for a little while, and then it's gone. But it's the will of God and doing His will that brings us the joy. So we need to spend that time in prayer and meditation, asking God to reveal His will to us, to show us in each and every situation that we're in what God would, you know, what would you have me do? And when we, our paths cross with other people's paths, you know, to ask God, what are we supposed to do in this situation or that situation? And then once we figure it out, and so a lot of times it may not be what we think it should be, or it's certainly not what we want it to be, that's when we need to ask God to give us the power to carry it out. I remember an interesting conversation I had with a gentleman a couple of years ago. And like so many of us, you struggle with the concept of the Holy Spirit. You know, is the Holy Spirit really a person? I've heard it that, you know, that the love of God or the love between the Father and the Son is so great that it actually creates a third person. But I think of the three gods in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Probably the hardest one, at least for me, was the concept of the Holy Spirit. And there was a great book by Jacques Philippe. A lot of times you can find it in the book racks that Stewardship Mission provides in so many of our parishes now. The name of the book was In the School of the Holy Spirit. And in the back of that, there was a prayer. I'm struggling to remember the cardinal's name. It began with an M. Anyway, there's a prayer in the back of that, and it basically asks at the end of the prayer for the Holy Spirit to tell us what God wants us to tell us what you want us to do and make us do it. And I had a conversation with a gentleman who I gave the book to who was struggling with the Holy Spirit, and he got to that prayer. And he didn't like it. You know, the idea that God is going to reveal to us what He wants us to do and then asking Him to make us do it. And it's not a whole lot different than what we have here in the 11th step. That we, you know, we're asking God to give us knowledge of His will for us and then the power to carry it out. And sometimes that is not easy. I think, you know, for those of us that are parents that, you know, the hardest thing sometimes in our lives to do is to let our kids be kids and to understand that they have their own higher power, that God is working in their lives, whether we see it or not. You know, the gentleman Michael Collins, who I've talked about a couple of times with this addiction mass that we're going to have out at St. Eleanor's, you know, as a son that struggles with drug addiction. I see people on a weekly basis that have lost children to addiction. Some of them have lost multiple children to addiction, and how horrible that is. And I haven't experienced that myself. I've only experienced it through other people. But I've seen them manage. I've seen them get to a point where they can live with it. You're never going to forget about it. You're never going to get past it, and we don't want to. But we learn to live with it, and I think that comes through discerning that you may experience this in your own life, but now that can be used for something else, that can be used for good. You know, Father McKay says it all the time, that, you know, God brings good out of everything. regardless of how awful the situation may be. And I don't think that there's anything worse than losing a child. To recognize that despite that, that God still has a will for each and every one of us. And so in this 11th step that we're praying for the knowledge of that will, you know, God, just show me today, just today, what you'd like me to do. And then once we come to understand what it is, give me the grace to do it. And I know from my own experience, and I know Kathleen and Father McKay and anybody that's been on this spiritual path for a while will tell you that anything that God has asked us to do, that it's never been asked before the grace was already there. God prepares us for every situation that we're going to encounter. He prepares us for all the situations that that we're going to need to handle. And we may not recognize it at first. I think about, again, going back to situations with those that have lost loved ones and lost children. And when it happens, you don't feel prepared for it. But I think over time, and they say time heals all wounds. I don't know if it does or not, but it certainly, the further that we get away from a significant event in our lives and look back, that we can see little things that have happened in those situations, and we can see God in it. I can see, it might be a relationship that was developed prior to whatever happened, and that the individual that helps you the most has shown up by chance accident. And you never know how these things are going to unfold. And I can tell you a story, and it already chokes me up a little bit. But this is one example of how this went down. And good friends of ours lost a child a number of years ago. And the weekend before this young boy was killed, I was actually able to get his father to come on retreat with me. And me and a couple other guys had been after him for a while. And every year he had an excuse not to go. Well, this year he decided he was going to come with us, and he came out to Malvern. And he had another child that had to go to the emergency room. I think it was on Saturday night, so he ended up leaving early. But before he left, he had some time to spend at the Pietà, the statue of the Blessed Mother holding her own dead son in her hands. And anyway, he had spent time there. He goes home to help his wife with this other child that had to go to the emergency room. And then later that week, Thursday of that week, his son was killed in a tragic accident. And he and I would get together once in a while after that. And, we'd talk, we'd break bread together. And he shared with me a month or two after it happened this story about the Pietà. And how when he had gotten to the hospital and caught up with his wife, and they learned that their son had died, and they brought him out and brought the son out and laid the son in his mother's arms, that all he saw was the Pietà. And as horrible as it was, here's an instance that in a complete tragedy, he's able to look back and see that in some way that God had prepared him for that moment, that he was able to link those two things together, that he was able to link his own suffering with the suffering of the Blessed Mother when her son died. And it didn't bring about a complete healing, far from it. It took a long time, multiple years, for he and his wife to come to terms with what had happened. And I'm sure that they still struggle on a regular basis. But they've made so much good out of what happened with their son, and I say that and I share that story because even in this horrible thing that happened, God had interjected himself into his life anyway, so that when it did happen, there was already a form of consolation that would come to him. And it probably didn't come that day or even in the first week or two, but sometime in those first couple months, he could see that God had done this for him. And brothers and sisters, God does this for all of us. If we take the time to look back and look at the situations in our own lives, and good and bad, great and tragic. And if we look at the moments or the days or the weeks before leading up to it, a lot of times I think that we can see God acting directly in our lives and preparing us for those situations. A lot of times these things can be positive. Perhaps God's calling you to do something that you don't think you can do. And I've shared this story many times, and Frank can attest to it, our engineer who's here today. My relationship with Kathleen, goes back a few years now, and really was started by her, by Kathleen's friend and Friday chauffeur, Hannah, or Thursday chauffeur, maybe she was, with Hannah Kiernan. God bless her. And Hannah had learned about Calyx and asked if talked to Kathleen and said that she should have me on the radio to try to spread the word about Calyx. And so I came in and did that first show, and it was actually in this hour, I think, on a Wednesday, when Kathleen interviewed me, and we talked about Calyx, and she would have me back again a couple of years later, and there was a lot of things in common. Kathleen, her original charismatic prayer group was one at St. John of the Cross in Roslyn, which is where my wife's parents were involved in the same movement. So actually, Kathleen was good friends with my in-laws, Herb and Joe McLaughlin. And so Kathleen and I had a pretty good relationship off the bat, but she would have me back on a couple of years later. And then I guess at some point she needed some help on Fridays. So she would have me come in on that Friday hour and pray with folks. And, we're talking about this 11th step and saw through prayer and meditation. I was struggling to pray by myself, let alone with you, our faithful listeners. And Kathleen asked me if I wanted to give it a shot. And so I forget exactly how long it was, but anyway, for some period of time, Kathleen and I would come in together on Fridays, and we would pray with you. And it was really different for me. And at one point, I came in on a Friday afternoon, and I remember I tend to be early everywhere I go, and I probably got here around 4:30, and it got to be like 4:45, and then 4:50, and Frank and Maureen are telling me that I better get in there and get ready to do the show, and I swore up and down, Kathleen, I talked to her earlier, I had texted her, she said she was going to be here, she'll be here. And it got to be like 4:57, 4:58, and no Kathleen. So I went and hopped in her chair. And, the music starts, the show starts, no Kathleen. And off I go. And I took the calls. I prayed with folks. A lot of people call in and leave their requests off the air. And I ended up doing the show, my first solo show. And I remember, like it was yesterday, as soon as the show was over at 6:01, I sent a text message to Kathleen, and all, it was only two words, very funny. And she wrote back with a phrase that I'll never forget, "I knew you could do it," were her words to me. And I look back now over time, and it wasn't just in that year or two that Kathleen and I became friends and doing that, but it goes all the way back to my days in high school of doing the, and I think, I don't forget if it was WMCD, I'm a graduate of Bishop McDevitt High School, and we would do the news at school, and I would do that once in a while, and I got that job because I was on the debate team, so I did a lot of public speaking, went back when I was in high school, which led me to be a, you know, a lector at a very young age in my home parish at Holy Martyrs. And one of the things that I've never really had a fear of is public speaking. But I can see going back in time that all these little things in my life, including my my own addiction and recovery, is really what has prepared me to do these shows today. And it's a gift. And for so many that struggle with addiction, my prayer is that sooner or later you come to realize that that addiction is a gift, that it's because you've struggled with that addiction that you grow closer to God out of necessity sometimes, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to cope with that addiction. It gives you the ability to work with others that have an addiction. And, you know, I've gotten to witness so many miracles, people that you thought would never stay sober, people you thought could never stay clean from drugs. And they do. And you know it's not you, or you know it's not me. I'm just God's instrument and passing along the same stories, the same information, the same 12 steps, the same Catholic faith that was given to me as a gift. And that's what leads to the 12th and the final step of the 12-step program. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we take this message to, in the case of AA, we take this message to other alcoholics and continue to practice these principles in all our affairs. In other words, we got to give it away to keep it. And you can only give away what you have. And brothers and sisters, we're all called to do that, addict or not. God has given you, perhaps he's given you a faith in him. He's given you gifts in your own life. And the gifts that we're given are never, ever, ever meant for us alone. They're meant to be shared. And the gift of my Catholic faith, the gift of sobriety, the gift of being able to speak in public, the gift of family, the gift of fatherhood, the gift of being a husband, all these things have been given to me so that I can share them with others. It's a gift to be a husband, but I have to share it with my wife. It's a gift to be a father, and I have to share that with my children. It's a gift to be in recovery from addiction, and I have to share that with other addicts in the hope that they are able to experience what I've experienced. I need to share my Catholic faith with anybody that is interested in hearing about it in order to bring them to the foot of the crucifix, to bring them to the feet of Jesus, so that they can experience in their lives what I've experienced in my own life. And ultimately, that's the healing mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And none of this would be possible without the grace of God and the things that he's done in my own life. And I think I finally gotten to the point in my life where I can't help but do it and give it to others. You get this yearning, you get this pull inside of you that says that you need to do this for others. That's how I learned about the Calyx Society, coming out of the Church Ministry Institute, and having people tell me that I got to do some project. And I didn't know that when I started that 3-year program. And telling folks that I can't do anymore. I'm already leading a Bible study. I'm already an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. I'm already a lector. I'm already a father and a husband and all these other things. I don't have time for anything else. Yet the Holy Spirit saw fit to say, you know, Ken, you need to do something for Catholics that are in recovery. And I fought it, and God won out. And that's how I learned about the Calyx Society. And it's through that. You know, you follow the sequence of steps, and it really is incredible. Getting sober to doing the Maximilian Kolbe consecration to Jesus through Mary, which led to a deeper immersion in my faith in the Church Ministry Institute that leads to Calyx, that leads to Kathleen McCarthy, that leads to Father McKay, leads to me sitting right here on December 20th, 2017, and sharing all of this with you, our faithful listeners, because that's how powerful God is. That's what he can do to somebody like me. And if he can do it to me or for me or with me, he can do it with you. He can do it for you. He can do it to you if you let him. And once he does it, hang on, because the gift that you're going to be given, like I say, and like Kathleen says all the time, that gift that you've been given is not yours to put in your pocket. It's not yours to hold on to. It's yours now to give away. You know, this is one of those things where re-gifting isn't a negative. It's a positive thing, where the gift that you've been given is now you recognize it and you realize that God has not given it to you to be held on to. He's given it to you to share it with anyone and everyone that you come into contact with, and anyone and everyone that asks for it. And when we know this, and when we just try to do a little bit of it, the joy and the happiness and the peace that we experience is beyond anything that you've ever thought about. And I know I'm not the only one. We've only got a few minutes left. Perhaps God's done something in your life. Now, maybe it was around Christmas time and you want to share it. We still got a couple minutes left. Give out the phone numbers for my last time this year, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. But you get I know that you have these gifts. We're all given these gifts. And all of them are unique. I don't think God gives the same gift to two people. I don't think he gives the same two gifts to any one person. He gives us these things so that we can share them with others and live in community. We're not, we're not meant to live alone. We're meant to live in a community of sorts, and to share these things with each other, because it's in sharing these things with others and experiencing others that we get to see Jesus Christ in other people. And again, like we were saying in the last show, whether we see it when people are being patient and kind and nice and loving, or we see it when they're hapless and homeless and living on the street, and maybe the furthest thing that you want to be near. But the goal is to see Jesus Christ in everyone. And a lot of times that can be difficult if we're isolated. You yourself are one of those folks. Maybe you're isolated not by choice, but just because of circumstances. Maybe it's real difficult for you to get out. Times like these, especially around the holidays, are some of the most difficult times for you. And my prayer is that today is that God will give you a little bit of hope. We'll give you a little bit of peace. We'll just let his grace and mercy flow upon you, and realize that even if you feel alone, that you think you're alone, that we're never completely alone, that God is always with us. And my hope, especially during this Christmas time that can be rather difficult, is that not only will God and be with you, and not only will Jesus be with you, and but that you experience their touch, that you know that they're there, that something happens in your life over the next few days, or maybe even on Christmas Day, that you will know that God is in your life and you'll experience something substantial. And maybe, just maybe, as it happens with so many, it'll be through Jesus' mother Mary, that you'll feel her graceful touch, that she'll let you know that her son is right there with you, that she's there for you, that she's there to intercede for you on your behalf with her son and with God the Father and with her spouse, the Holy Spirit, and to answer whatever prayer it is that you might have. So, brothers and sisters, as at least for me, we wind down this year, I just want to take a moment to praise and thank God from the bottom of my heart for all of you, for all those that support not only the two shows that I'm lucky to do on Wednesdays, but all the shows that we do here Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Each and every day. To thank you for your prayerful and financial support that has allowed us to do that. I just ask that you continue to do it because of how sorely this ministry is needed and this radio apostolate is needed in order to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And there's no greater news than what we'll experience on Christmas Day, and that's the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to reconcile us to the Father and to let us know that he's already prepared a place for us in his heavenly kingdom, and that our goal should be to seek that out and to make sure that we're able to fill that space that he has created for us. I also need to thank everybody here at In His Sign, Maureen and Kathleen, and especially Harry and Frank, who, you know, every Wednesday I get in the car on my way home, and it's like, man, I forgot to thank Frank again today. And, you know, these folks are here on their own time because they believe in the work that is done here. They're faithful Catholics that, you know, participate not only in Mass and those types of things, but a lot of other things to improve their own spiritual lives. And one of them in particular is supporting us here at In His Sign, and they do a lot of the work that goes unnoticed, and they're faithful servants. And so I want to thank Frank and Harry and Dennis and the folks that give of their time here in order to make this radio apostolate such a success. So as Christmas draws near, my prayer is that, especially on this Christmas day, that you experience God in your own life, that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that he's there for you in all things, good and bad, and ready to be your Lord and Savior. If you're away from the church, there's absolutely no better time to come back than around the Christmas holidays. A lot of the parishes are having reconciliation services and penance services this week. May not be too late. I think St. Luke's or in Glenside, my home parish, is actually having theirs shortly this evening. But get back to the faith. Get back and make a confession. Reconcile with God and the church and come on back, because those gifts that we've been talking about for the last half hour, I need them, Frank needs them, we all need them, and we don't get them if you're away from the church. So come on back. Until we meet again in 2018, my prayer is that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.